Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is September 19, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about credit card startup Petal raises $300 million MLN debt round. Masabi, Jorudin launch mobile ticketing service. Omer's growth equity leads $158 Canadian MLN funding for Touch Bistro. Card payments to surpass cash in South Korea by 2020. Instarem launches its services in Canada. Deutsche Bank acquires a 5% stake in FinTech Deposit Solutions. Clearpay launches UK Buy Now Pay Later app for mobile. Oracle expands supply chain cloud with digital assistant. GoCardless debuts in US with recurring ACH B2B payments service. Cash Plus hires Amex commercial card risk exec. Tide targets SMB customer support with paid account option. Velocity Credit Union moves to Fiserv. FIS, 54 countries have activated real-time payment systems. Euro Banking Association publishes real-time treasury and smart payments reports. State Street enters data analytics partnership with Solovis. ADB warns of digital poverty hampering trade finance. The high stakes of supply chain technology. Deep Dive, using AI to solve the $4.2 trillion fraud problem. How banks are using AI, ML to fight account opening fraud. B2B payment innovations keep suppliers in mind. Online marketplaces and the $1.8 trillion counterfeit problem. Now let's get started. Credit card startup Petal raises $300 million MLN debt round. Credit card startup Petal has completed a new financing round, raising $300 million from Jefferies and adding to existing venture capital investments from names like Valar Ventures. Petal offers a Visa rewards card to people with little to no credit history. The idea that served as a starting point for the company was to offer younger customers, who often haven't established credit, a rewards-based card. Instead of using a traditional FICO score, it uses other data and metrics to assess whether or not someone can repay the loans. Companies like Square, Stripe, and PayPal are leaning on similar tactics to underwrite small business loans. Petal's financing comes as investors increasingly bet on other credit card startups. Mission Lane, another new credit card company, raised $500 billion in debt and equity financing in September 2019. Masabi, Jorudin launch mobile ticketing service. Masabi, a fare payments as a service provider, and Jorudin have launched mobile ticketing in Toyota City, Aichi Prefecture. Passengers are now able to purchase day passes for bus travel via the Japan Transit Planner Narikane app, in both English and Japanese. This is the latest Japanese launch following on from the partnership signed between Jorudin and Masabi earlier in 2019. Jorudin has integrated the JustRide mobile ticketing SDK into its transit apps, meaning once an operator signs up to the service, tickets can be made available in the application. Jorudin's Japan Transit Planner Narikane Journey Planning app is available to download from Google Play and the App Store. Omer's growth equity leads $158 Canadian MLN funding for Touch Bistro. Omer's growth equity has led a $158 million Series E funding for Touch Bistro, a Canada-based restaurant technology solution provider. This Series E funding includes participation from Barclays Bank, RBC Ventures, and BMO Capital Partners. Existing investors, including Omer's Ventures, Kensington Capital Partners, BDC at Venture Fund, Napier Park Financial Partners, Recruit Holdings, and JP Morgan Chase, also participated. The announcement increases Omer's stake in the company. Founded in 2010, TouchBistro provides iPad point-of-sale (POS) systems and a suite of technology solutions that allow restaurant owners to save time on routine tasks, acquire new business, and simplify their finances. The funds will be used to support further product development, acquisitions, and expansion in existing and new markets, among others. Card payments to surpass cash in South Korea by 2020. Cards are expected to surpass cash in terms of payment volume, becoming the dominant payment instrument in South Korea by 2020, according to GlobalData. The South Korean card market is well developed with high card penetration and frequency of card payments. GlobalData's report South Korea Cards and Payments, Opportunities and Risks to 2023 reveals that South Korean consumers are avid users of payment cards. This is particularly true for credit cards, with the frequency of payments by credit cards standing at 132 times in 2019, much higher than in developed markets such as France, Canada, the US, and the UK. Credit card payment value in South Korea, which increased from US$495.7 billion United States dollars in 2015 to US$644 billion United States dollars in 2019, is expected to grow further, reaching US$820.9 billion United States dollars by 2022. High financial awareness, robust payment infrastructure, and a constant focus on innovation are some of the factors that are driving card adoption in the country. While credit cards continue to dominate, debit cards are also increasingly being used for payments. This has been supported by government measures to rein in the growing card debt and encourage debit card usage. For instance, debit card holders have access to a tax deduction of 30% on their debit card expenditure, double the equivalent for credit cards. InstaRem launches its services in Canada. InstaRem, a Singapore-based cross-border payments provider, has launched its services in Canada to deliver streamlined digital money transfers. InstaRem is registered as a money service business with the Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Centre of Canada, FINTRAC, to remit and transmit funds out of Canada. The launch of the digital money transfer service aims to help individuals and businesses in Canada to send money to over 60 countries, including the UK and the US, with InstaRem's zero margin and low fee international money transfers. Canada is one of the leading remittance sending countries in the world, which is attributed to the large expat population from different parts of the world. In 2017, as much as US$24.6 billion United States dollars was sent out of Canada in remittances, with countries like China, US$4.14 billion United States dollars, India, US$2.88 billion United States dollars, the Philippines, US$2.37 billion United States dollars, France, US$1.23 billion United States dollars, and Italy, US$1.07 billion United States dollars, being the top recipients, according to the World Bank. Now, registered users in Canada can utilize InstaRem's services both on the website and on the mobile app. InstaRem is ranked by the World Bank as one of the lowest-cost operators in a number of corridors in APAC. Deutsche Bank acquires a 5% stake in FinTech Deposit Solutions. Deutsche Bank has acquired a 4.9% stake in the Germany-based fintech company Deposit Solutions. Both parties agreed not to disclose details about the volume of the investment. The bank's objective with this investment is to benefit from the expected growth in valuation of deposit solutions. Deutsche Bank already operates its Zinsmarkt deposit offering using technology supplied by Deposit Solutions. Since 2017, Zinsmarkt has enabled Deutsche Bank customers to access fixed-term deposit products from other European banks that pay higher interest. Deutsche Bank is pursuing two goals with Zinsmarkt, offering clients alternative investment opportunities in addition to the bank's own products and at the same time increasing its fee income from the deposit business, particularly during a period of sustained low interest rates. Zinsmarkt as well as the cooperation with Deposit Solutions are elements of Deutsche Bank's platform strategy. To date, Deutsche Bank's Zinsmarkt can be used by Deutsche Bank customers and online broker MaxBlue clients. The bank is now planning to open it up to a wider range of clients within Deutsche Bank Group. To date, around 2 billion euros of deposits have already been transmitted via Zinsmarkt. It currently offers more than 23 fixed-term deposit products with different maturities from three banks. Two additional banks are due to be added in the near future. Besides Deutsche Bank, nearly 100 other banks from 18 countries are using the Deposit Solutions platform either to offer their clients deposit products from third-party banks or to source deposits for their balance sheet. The company is further expanding internationally. In early 2019, Deposit Solutions launched in Switzerland as the first market outside the European Union. In the coming months, the US will follow. Clearpay launches UK Buy Now Pay Later app for mobile. Clearpay, part of global payments innovator Afterpay Touch Group, is to launch an app allowing UK consumers to use its Buy Now Pay Later service on their mobile phones. The move follows a nationwide study for Clearpay by YouGov, showing that UK millennials want more innovation in retail and financial services. Available from the App Store shortly, the Clearpay app will allow people to browse for products in its online store directory, track orders and manage their accounts. It will also offer a new facility allowing customers to settle outstanding balances early if they wish. The global business already has an app in the US, now widely used for online purchases. In its newly published report for Clearpay, UK Millennials, Shopping and Money, YouGov reveals profound generational differences in how people like to pay, and notes that young people aged 18 to 35 are principally interested in new services they can use on mobile phones. Oracle expands supply chain cloud with digital assistant. Oracle is expanding its supply chain management (SCM) cloud solution with a range of new features, including integration into a business network and the addition of a digital assistant, the company said on Wednesday, September 18. The launch of the Oracle Business Network connects business users of the supply chain management solution with their B2B partners, either directly or via third-party networks like invoicing or logistics platforms. Using the business network portal, businesses can more seamlessly search for and interact with those business partners registered within the network, promoting electronic data exchange and documentation, Oracle explained. The company said it will also look to roll out an integration with DataFox, allowing business users to obtain real-time data insights and analytics about their partners. Oracle also announced the addition of digital assistant technology within its SCM cloud solution, allowing supply chain managers to converse with a digital assistant that can monitor ongoing activity. The company said it will initially focus on the use case of the digital assistant within logistics operations, including capabilities to obtain information on status, tracking deviations and incident reporting, though Oracle said it also plans to expand functionality to all areas of supply chain management. In many cases, the natural complexity of an organization's supply chain is made worse by the complexity of the technology used to manage it, said Oracle Chief Sustainability Officer and VP of Supply Chain Management John Chorley in a statement. To outpace change and stay ahead of competitors amid changing market conditions, organizations need technology that removes complexity and provides clear and actionable insights into their business. The new innovations within Oracle SCM Cloud help customers streamline collaboration with new trading partners and improve operational intelligence so they can move faster and outperform the market, he added. Oracle's supply chain management enhancements follow an announcement earlier this month that the company is collaborating with Trinamics to strengthen its SCM Cloud offering. GoCardless debuts in US with recurring ACH B2B payments service. GoCardless, a UK-based company providing businesses with recurring payment acceptance solutions, is launching in the US with an eye on the B2B payments opportunity. An announcement on GoCardless website on Wednesday, September 18, said GoCardless is launching a debit payment solution in the US as it opened headquarters in San Francisco, its latest geographic expansion that has brought the firm to France, Germany and Australia. The US rollout comes as GoCardless opens up its ACH recurring debit payment service, allowing companies to use its platform to allow consumers to make recurring ACH payments instead of using credit cards to pay. In its announcement, GoCardless pointed specifically to the opportunity in recurring B2B payments as a key motivation behind its expansion, noting that ACH is a top B2B payments tool in the US. ACH debit is becoming an increasingly popular choice for B2B payments in the U.S. and is expected to be more widely used than traditional payment methods, like checks, by 2020, the company wrote, citing data from National Automated Clearing House Association, NACHA. ACH supports enhanced payment visibility and lowers involuntary churn by reducing the risk of payment failure rates compared to card payments, the company added, pointing to expired or lost cards and credit limits. By using the ACH debit network on the GoCardless platform, merchants can pull payments directly from their customers' bank accounts at a lower cost than credit cards and without the overhead and burden of cash and checks, the company said in a statement to TechCrunch. In July, GoCardless announced another initiative to enhance B2B transactions through a partnership with DocuSign. In an interview with Karen Webster, GoCardless General Manager Pranav Sood said customers of recurring services need to have payment options that lower the risk of payment failure rates and offer lower transaction costs. Its partnership with DocuSign allows joint customers in Europe to pay for DocuSign services via direct debit to address those friction points, he said. CashPlus hires Amex commercial card risk exec. UK challenger fintech CashPlus has hired a commercial card risk expert from American Express, reports this week said. According to reports Wednesday, September 18, CashPlus announced Rahul Dusaya will join the company as its credit director. He comes from American Express as its head of credit risk for UK commercial cards and payments and before working at Amex, Dusaya held a position at Accenture. In a statement, CashPlus Chief Commercial Officer Paul Schooley said Dusaya has deep knowledge of how risk underpins performance, and his extensive small to medium-sized enterprises SME experience will be incredibly valuable as we move to accelerate our lending growth and develop new products, tailor-made for the small businesses that so often struggle to access the capital they need in order to grow. In another statement, Dusaya said that he is excited to join CashPlus at a time when challenger banks are disrupting the small business financial services space. Digital challengers are increasingly shaking up the SME banking and lending market, offering a lifeline to entrepreneurs where traditional players can't, or won't, he said. I am looking forward to working with Paul and the team as we focus on building an even more compelling range of products and services for UK SMEs. The new hire comes as CashPlus continues its pursuit of a UK banking license, which it has already applied for and hopes to receive authorization in the first quarter of next year. If the company is cleared to operate as a bank, CashPlus said it will have access to more than $370 million in capital to finance its small business loans. Late last year, CashPlus announced a new application programming interface (API) allowing small and medium-sized businesses to initiate mass payments to their supplier base at the same time, part of its broader API roadmap, it said at the time. In May, the company revealed it had applied for a portion of the $1 billion in Royal Bank of Scotland funds available to UK challengers to spur competition in the small business banking market, and also revealed plans to launch a business credit rating service for startups. Tide targets SMB customer support with paid account option. UK challenger bank Tide is planning to roll out a paid tier of its banking services for small businesses, connecting users of its upgraded offering with elevated customer service. An announcement on Tide's company website on Wednesday, September 18, said the firm is readying to release Tide Plus after testing the paid service with a group of SMB customers. The paid tier offers a range of services, including dedicated phone support during normal business hours, prioritized in-app messaging support and a 24/7 legal helpline operated by a law firm. Users of the paid services can also gain access to a matte black Tide Plus card and 20 free monthly transfers. Tide will charge $9.99 per month for the service, which will be available to all members at the end of the year, it said. Tide recognizes the diversity of small and medium-sized business owners, said Tide VP of Member Engagement Sarah Young in a statement. Tide Plus is for businesses that, in addition to the digital channel support, prefer high-quality phone support. The upgrade is visually supported by a very smart black card and offers additional benefits, such as legal support tailored to small business needs. According to internal surveys, Tide said that more than 60% of current SMB users would be willing to pay for enhanced services. The company said the added features of Tide Plus are a response to what small businesses have said they would want. The Challenger Bank plans to introduce additional features moving forward. In another statement, Tide CEO Oliver Prill pointed to the bank's collaboration with ClearBank, which helped it secure a portion of the $1 billion in RBS funds that are up for grabs to promote small business banking competition. When Tide was granted $60 million in RBS funds, the bank made commitments to launch new features for small business owners. Tide Plus, Prill said, is a part of those commitments resulting from the grant. Velocity Credit Union moves to Fiserv. Fiserv, Inc., NASDAQ, FISV, a leading global provider of financial services technology solutions, announced today that Velocity Credit Union, based in Austin, Texas, has selected Fiserv as a key technology provider as the credit union diversifies into business services and automates processes. Velocity Credit Union has a long history of serving the greater Austin area. In recent years, the credit union has focused its strategic efforts on enhancing services for small businesses and creating a better digital experience for members. The credit union chose DNA from Fiserv to improve loan servicing capabilities for business and real estate, and to facilitate the integration of third-party solutions through the platform's open architecture. To remain competitive, we must offer the best possible digital services to business accounts and individual members, said Debbie Mitchell, President and CEO, Velocity Credit Union. Faster integration of the latest market innovations, which is possible with an open architecture platform like DNA, means we can quickly deliver the latest services to members. This helps us stand out and shows the business community and our members that we are invested in them. DNA is a modern core account processing platform that provides powerful, built-in commercial servicing capabilities to support business account growth. The platform's open architecture makes it easier for financial institutions to integrate other solutions, bring products and services online quickly, and add new capabilities using downloadable DNA apps. As part of their technology transformation, the credit union also added several integrated solutions from Fiserv, including general ledger, item processing, and enterprise payments. Growth-oriented credit unions are increasingly focused on improving offerings for small businesses and entrepreneurial members, in no small part because these areas drive growth and retention across the member base, said Vincent Brennan, President, Credit Union Solutions, Fiserv. We are looking forward to working with Velocity as it creates value for its members and community with the premier retail and commercial functionality of DNA. FIS, 54 countries have activated real-time payment systems. The number of real-time payment systems in use around the world has increased 35% over the past year and nearly fourfold since 2014, according to new research released today by FIS, NYSE, FIS, a global leader in financial services technology. In its sixth annual Flavors of Fast report, FIS identified 54 countries with active real-time payment programs, up from 40 in 2018 and nearly four times as many named in the inaugural 2014 study. Leading contributors to this increase were new programs launched in Asia and the expansion of Europe's SEPA Instant Credit Transfer (SCT-Inst) scheme. The report rated real-time payments programs around the world on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, as part of its Faster Payments Innovation Index. Programs were rated on innovative features, fund availability, and market application. India received the only 5+ rating and remains the global leader in real-time payments usage. The country saw a 10-fold increase in value and an 8-fold increase in transaction volumes through its National Immediate Payment Service (IMPS) over the last year. Six countries, Australia, Denmark, Poland, Romania, Singapore, and Sweden, received a 4+ rating for their real-time payments systems. The US and UK were among 31 other countries or regions with a 4 rating for their faster payments schemes. Consumers and businesses globally are demanding faster payments, and more countries and financial institutions are hearing the call and taking action, said Raja Gopalakrishnan, EVP, International Banking and Payments at FIS. While this is good news for the marketplace, we are only at the beginning of this revolution and much more investment is needed to make the global transition to real-time payments. The FIS research found that growing use of chat-based services, retail apps, instant loans and open APIs, as well as the migration toward the ISO 20022 global payments standard, are key factors that are driving the increased adoption of real-time payments around the world. Real-time payments are expanding across the globe at an unprecedented pace, said Ron Van Wezel, senior analyst, IT Group. Financial institutions that have a strategy in place for real-time payments will be ahead of the game. Euro Banking Association publishes real-time treasury and smart payments reports. At its global seminar on real-time payments and open banking, new realities, new challenges today, the Euro Banking Association (EBA) presented the latest research delivered by its working groups on liquidity management and on crypto technologies and smart payments. Exploring how instant payments will affect corporate intraday liquidity management, the report of the Liquidity Management Working Group highlights the importance of ecosystem cooperation. The majority of B2B transactions is not yet processed instantly. But as companies revise their business models and as banks are migrating their clients from batch-based to instant payments, corporate treasurers will have to re-evaluate their forecasting processes and operating procedures. Banks, on the other hand, will have to balance managing their own intraday liquidity and providing sufficient liquidity for the instant processing of time-sensitive payments. Instant payments are changing the dynamics between banks and their corporate clients. To understand interdependencies and to use intraday liquidity more efficiently on both sides, banks and corporates need to exchange information on requirements, expectations, and objectives of payments processing, the report concludes. The Crypto Technologies and Smart Payments Working Group finds that the key to getting smart payments ready for digital economy is the collaboration between the financial services industry and industries leading the charge on the Internet of Things, IoT. The IoT is on its way into businesses and consumer lives, and smart payment functionality will be a necessary enabler of a full machine-to-machine IoT. Banks have laid the ground for IoT-enabled smart payments by adopting instant payments and open banking. As IoT ecosystems mature, banks stand to gain by positioning themselves at the intersection of data exchange, commerce, and financing. The working group suggests that new partnership models with fintechs, retailers, corporates, banks, and other players can help banks meet the evolving needs of their customers while they adapt their business models and operational requirements for the new digital economy. State Street enters data analytics partnership with Solovis. State Street Corporation NYSE, STT, today announced several enhancements to its data-led, fully integrated analytics solution designed specifically for asset owners. The multi-asset class platform solution will improve transparency, alleviate complexity and streamline performance tracking and regulatory reporting for clients. As a result, critical data will be provided via a single platform, enabling clients to manage, view and analyze their investment universe from one central location. The enhancements align with a strategic partnership the company has formed with Solovis, a multi-asset class portfolio management, analytics and reporting platform for asset owners and allocators. Powered by DataGex, State Street's award-winning data-as-a-service capability, this new multi-asset class platform incorporates the Solovis Analytics application and will seamlessly manage data and traditional accounting book of record with alternative asset data, including third-party information. Clients will receive information through the client portal, where they can access performance results, measure against industry data and create custom reporting. The platform will serve as a centralized location to let clients view and run different scenarios for performance, attribution, and ex-post risk across all asset classes. Institutional investing dynamics have shifted significantly over the past decade, and the resulting increase in outsourced manager relationships and alternative investment allocations are making it difficult for investment teams to gain a holistic, accurate view of portfolio performance and exposure, said Josh Smith, co-founder and CEO of Solovis. We are pleased to partner with State Street to enable a true multi-asset class portfolio management experience that aligns data, people and processes for more accurate, informed insights across the entire portfolio. This alignment will create a truly game-changing experience for asset owners. State Street's multi-asset class platform offers asset allocators a single platform that provides insights into performance, risk, cash management, and more. The capabilities enabled by Solovis empower clients to calculate performance at every level of a portfolio with all available data points, calculate liquidity on select investments or for the whole portfolio, and analyze exposures across public and private assets. The complexity of today's investment landscape has increased the need for greater transparency across all asset classes and portfolios, said Brenda Lyons, head of product for State Street Global Services. For example, asset owners are increasing allocation to alternatives, which require more robust analytics and reporting than traditional assets. To meet this demand for increased visibility, we've partnered with Solovis and designed a comprehensive, multi-asset class platform that will equip firms with the information and insights they need to track performance and identify new opportunities for growth. ADB warns of digital poverty hampering trade finance. The Asian Development Bank, which ramped up the trade finance industry's focus on broadening access to small businesses after releasing a report that estimated the global trade finance gap now stands at $1.5 trillion, has released new analysis warning of the impact a lack of technology will have on companies struggling to access such financing products. In a joint report released this week with the United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, UNESCAP, the ADP again urged world leaders to combine their efforts in addressing the trade finance gap. Amidst global trade tensions, regional cooperation to cut red tape and automate trade procedures is more important than ever, said ESCAP United Nations Undersecretary General and Executive Secretary Armida Salsaia-Lishabana in remarks made this week to open the Asia-Pacific Trade Facilitate Forum, held in India. Her emphasis on automation is key, according to the ADP's and UNESCAP's Asia-Pacific Trade Facilitation Report 2019, also released this week, which pointed to the role of technology in connecting businesses to trade finance products. According to the ADB's Vice President, Knowledge Management and Sustainable Development, Bombang Susantano, the risk of digital poverty looms large over SMBs. Digital poverty, unlike conventional poverty, will be a new form of poverty, he said, according to the Hindu Business Line reports this week, referencing businesses' lack of technological tools and resources that can facilitate trade finance. We don't want to see that. We want digital technology to be both efficient, sustainable, and also equitable. In another statement, Susantano pointed to the enormous untapped potential in the rapidly evolving digital technologies to address key barriers to trade finance, including high transaction and processing costs. Beyond APAC, while the ADB and UNESCAP's analysis focused on the Asia-Pacific region, the latest analysis by PYMNTS reveals that the trade finance struggle is not isolated to the region. Indeed, U.S. small and medium-sized businesses are feeling the trade finance crunch as corporate customers continue to drag out payment terms. As PYMNTS and Fundbox find in the recently released SMB Receivables Gap, the Business Impacts of Trade Credit Playbook, young and low-margin small businesses are particularly affected by the B2B industry's reliance on trade credit and, subsequently, have the need to seek financing to manage cash flow. Those early-stage, low-margin businesses seek short-term financing nearly twice as much as small businesses that are more established and higher-margin, PYMNTS research found, with nearly 31% of early-stage, low-margin SMBs routinely experiencing a cash shortfall. What's more, early-stage, low-margin SMBs, the ones that tend to have a greater need for financing, are also the ones that struggle most in search of that external capital. Financial institutions are more likely to extend favorable credit terms to high-margin firms, given their healthy balance sheets, meaning these firms have greater access to credit and financing products but less need for them, the report concluded, adding that more than 9% of established, high-margin companies don't use any kind of financing product to manage cash flow at all. Only a fraction of other types of companies are in this fortunate position, the report noted. Businesses of all types use a range of financing tools to manage cash flow while selling to their clients on credit and waiting for invoices to be paid, including credit cards and merchant cash advances. Nearly half of all businesses say they use a line of credit to cover cash flow gaps, the second most popular financing product behind credit cards. The use of factoring, one kind of trade finance, is among the least popular. According to the ADB and UNESCAP, trade finance products including factoring, trade finance, reverse factoring, export-import finance and more, are essential to not only ensuring the continuous flow of trade, but health flow of cash for businesses large and small. Technology, the organizations agree, is a critical component of trade finance access. The high stakes of supply chain technology. Supply chain management has morphed into a strategic business initiative combining technological adoption, event forecasting and even politics. Awareness of its complexities has never been higher thanks to threats of a trade war between the US and China, and its resounding impacts on other areas of the planet. But the C-suite has known for years that elevated supply chain management strategies can have a major impact on bottom lines. KPMG and JDA Software confirmed this in their recent report that found executives are ramping up their investments in supply chain technologies as part of their efforts to strengthen visibility and mitigate risks. Choosing the right technology, however, can be as complex as the problems they're designed to address, according to Trinamics founding and managing partners Amit Sharma and Molly Chakraborty. When PYMNTS asked about the biggest supply chain challenges businesses face today, they had no shortage of responses and noted that these challenges can be traced at the very beginning of a business growth trajectory. New companies evolve their processes based on the simplicity and chaos they encounter, Sharma explained. More often than not, the people that develop these processes have neither the maturity nor the vision to develop processes keeping in mind future scalability and complexity of the business, he said. In other words, taking the first steps to strategically managing a supply chain is challenging enough for a growing business, but failure to embrace technologies that can adapt and scale along with that company can be a disastrous mistake. Both Sharma and Chakraborty pointed to a multitude of factors driving supply chain management challenges in today's market. In large part, growing consumer and end customer demands reverberate through supply chains, leading to what the executives described as cutthroat competition across industries. In order to address consumer needs, firms must plan in advance, strategize about time to market and inventory postponement, and manage replenishment to operate a lean supply chain without excess, yet robust enough to fulfill demand. Yet as organizations expand, this balancing act becomes even more difficult. Mergers and acquisitions add complexity as combined organizations tackle redundancies and smooth out overlaps while ensuring back-office infrastructures connect seamlessly. Expansion across borders, offshore manufacturing and outsourcing similarly introduce new risks of disruption to supply chains, they said. A typhoon in the Philippines or a tsunami in Indonesia or an earthquake in Japan destabilizes the supply chain of the entire globe, Chakraborty said. A potential trade war with China risks the entire globe to an imminent recession. And while smaller, growing companies can struggle to navigate these complexities, these challenges are no less severe for large organizations, she added, and on top of all of these common hurdles, industries like high-tech, consumer packaged goods, industrial manufacturing and retail all have their sector-specific supply chain challenges to overcome, too. Technology to the rescue, maybe. Technology is undoubtedly a key component to managing supply chains, developing and executing supply chain strategies, and mitigating supply chain risks. Both Chakraborty and Sharma pointed to tools like the Internet of Things, 5G, big data and predictive analytics, and blockchain as the needs of the day as demands to not only manage, but anticipate disruption weigh more heavily. Planners should plan well in advance for smooth flow of supply chain, said Sharma. Inaccuracy of a forecast is unpardonable. They noted the most effective supply chain technologies operate on a software as a service model as organizations downsize their internal IT departments, and they urged businesses to embrace technologies that are mobile-friendly and prioritize security and transparency. Innovators have ushered in Industry 4.0, they said, and today there is greater opportunity than ever before for businesses to not only tackle supply chain challenges, but overcome them in ways that add value to the enterprise. But flashy, high-tech tools are, of course, not a catch-all solution to some of the most complex supply chain risks of today. Chakraborty said there are four key factors that can either help or harm organizations' supply chain technology adoption: the vision and commitment to adopt technology by stakeholders, having the proper skills and resources to adopt these tools, having internal motivation to change, and developing a strategic action plan to support adoption. Simultaneously, organizations must keep compliance at the forefront of their supply chain technology strategies, and if the stakes weren't high enough, falling short of strategic goals can lead to confusion, anxiety, frustration, resistance, and false starts, she noted. Yet in a period of some of the largest, most complicated risks global supply chains have seen, businesses that are able to step up to the plate will need to meet major challenges with an equally major focus on technological strategy. Making changes to existing processes to improve the supply chain is one of the major challenges a company faces, Sharma said. Change is hard to implement. A company that fosters continual changes to improve its process, and that adopts new technology in a well-architected plan and harbors a culture of adoption, is proved to be the most successful in coping with these challenges. Deep dive: using AI to solve the $4.2 trillion fraud problem. Global fraud's price tag reached $4.2 trillion last year. The Securing B2B Payments report includes a deep dive outlining how learning technologies like AI are being deployed to keep fraudsters at bay and the challenges ahead. Digital payments volume is increasing as emerging technologies enable more seamless online transaction experiences for consumers and businesses. Cybercriminals are also seeing opportunities to use these offerings to their advantage, however, now employing them to exploit vulnerabilities, siphon funds, and access valuable data. Merchants and FIS have been turning to such solutions to help customers quickly and securely transact. However, bad actors are doing so to commit financial crimes and get away undetected. The latter successfully made off with $4.2 trillion from the worldwide economy last year, a problem that will become only larger as transfer speeds increase. Many organizations are thus tapping into advanced, unsupervised learning technologies which provide opportunities to reduce financial fraud as detection becomes smarter and machine learning more robust, like artificial intelligence (AI) for assistance. The outlook for banks, businesses, and consumers to remain protected could significantly improve with the system's prevalence. The following deep dive examines how AI technology is being deployed on the anti-fraud front lines. The high costs of fraud. Fraud takes many shapes and forms and comes with a hefty price tag. The increasing risk of fraud is prompting many firms to implement AI-based solutions. These solutions can analyze consumers' personally identifiable information, P, and transactional data, helping combat and identify irregular credit card activity for specific patterns, whether false positives or actual fraud. False positives occur regularly with traditional rule-based anti-fraud measures, as the systems tend to flag anything outside their given sets of parameters. False positives are considered one of the most significant barriers to businesses' customer acquisition and retention efforts. A recent study found that 60.8% of digital platforms consider false positives to be key conversion process friction points, a major problem for online companies. Their ranks include digital platforms such as Amazon Business and Airbnb, meaning they must deliver user experiences that are seamless, secure, and allow trustworthy customers to quickly conduct transactions. A firm attempting to make purchases from a new overseas supplier can trigger a fraud warning, for example, but AI solutions might compare it to a cluster of similar small to mid-size businesses (SMB) accounts and further examine it before raising a flag. Digital platforms can thus create digital, data-based user profiles with AI-based systems in place, then determine if recent activity warrants cause for alarm. These solutions are likely to increase customer satisfaction and reduce the risk that banks will incorrectly flag genuine users' accounts. Getting AI security right. False positives can undermine fraud detection systems' effectiveness, making it crucial that developers understand the importance of seamless, accurate data input processes. AI systems are only as effective as the input systems that support them, and should consider factors like geographic data and how it compares to traditional patterns, for example. Firms would do well to carefully analyze confirmed fraud alerts to understand how accurately their systems flag cybercrime-related events. Banks and businesses would also be wise to take holistic approaches to fraud. Data collected by firms' marketing divisions might include insights on the most popular channels online, mobile, or in person through which consumers choose to interact. This can lead to further opportunities to enhance security at these access points. Fighting fraud requires several layers of protection to be effective in detecting criminals while approving trustworthy partners. Merchants that deal with live customers can use chip-enabled point-of-sale (POS) terminals, and EMV-enabled technology that can keep payment card data secured at the POS and assure customers that their data will be protected. Solutions like enhanced authorization for card-not-present transactions can share additional information like email addresses, IP addresses, shipping experiences, and more to build more complete user profiles. Others, like EMV3D Secure and tokenization services, are winning appeal by enabling merchants to shift liability and alleviate the need to store payment information. When combined with other measures, these tools have been proven to reduce fraud by approximately 60%. AI will be essential in the fight against fraud, especially as bad actors become savvier in their digital crime efforts. The technology must be taught how to correctly collect and interpret data to be effective, though. Such solutions are only as effective as their users and developers teach them to be. How banks are using AI, ML to fight account opening fraud. The threat of a data breach is now an ever-present part of life for customers and the banks that serve them. A reported 3,813 data breaches across a number of industries collectively exposing 4.1 billion customer records occurred in the first 6 months of 2019, for example. This has become a larger problem for FIS as they must not only deal with protecting customers from fraud, but also guard against bad actors armed with 4.1 billion stolen credentials. Account opening fraud is a favorite tactic among such cyber criminals, many of whom rely on these credentials to pose as legitimate customers. Banks thus need to accurately determine potential customers' legitimacy as soon as they decide to sign up. Most importantly, they must do this without creating friction for legitimate users. FIS are also offering more ways for customers to enroll, such as through mobile, with 36% of banks and credit unions now offering end-to-end mobile account opening features for users. Fraud tends to go where users are, and there was a 117% increase in overall mobile fraud in 2018. Customers can easily become frustrated when asked to provide additional verification in mobile channels, however. Banks cannot afford to ignore this frustration if they wish to remain competitive, especially with 76% of users preferring to open accounts on mobile, according to one recent study. FIS are thus turning to a host of technologies to protect customers from account opening and other mobile channel fraud forms. Machine learning (ML) and artificial intelligence (AI) have been used by banks for fraud protection for several years, but these technologies are just starting to take on main roles. They are now displacing traditional knowledge-based authentication (KBA) methods like PINs and passwords. AI, ML innovations necessary to stop account opening fraud. Account opening fraud can be difficult to detect because it is often tied to data breaches at other banks or fintechs, meaning banks do not yet have the data necessary to recognize illegitimate customers. This is where AI and ML technologies can come in handy. Banks can use ML and AI to better analyze and understand customer behavior, providing them with more robust views of how legitimate customers act. This approach relies on algorithms to identify users based on available data, and the amount and type FIS can collect for fraud protection is critical to these technologies' success. Such algorithms could be used to better determine fraud risk before a customer's application is accepted or declined, too. Banks often pair these tools with human components, providing final checks on potential users who may have been flagged as high risk. These tools can provide benefits to banks and customers, including speed and convenience. Users can often go through these identity checks without being alerted to them, which stops them from needing to provide additional information and decreases the time it takes to have new accounts authenticated. Banks, meanwhile, can better keep fraudsters out while increasing the number of customers they can onboard. In one particular case, an unnamed bank used a third-party AI service from fraud technology provider FeedsEye and saw a 70% increase in customer onboarding without a corresponding increase in fraud losses. These technologies still have a few hurdles to overcome, though. As with any anti-fraud method, AI and ML algorithms are only as good as the data to which they have access. AI, ML and future fraud protection challenges. Banks must also make sure the AI and ML tools they use are unique to the type of fraud they are trying to prevent. This task is especially difficult with account opening fraud, as FIS have limited data on potential customers, and fraudsters are relying on synthetic identity theft or stolen credentials to slip through initial identification checks. Bad actors can do so even if FIS are using AI and ML, simply because the systems do not yet have enough data to differentiate between fraudsters and real customers. One solution is to increase the amount of data AI and ML-enabled systems can access before customers open their accounts, but challenges exist here as well. FIS in certain markets, such as the European Union and UK, are limited in the customer data they can use thanks to the General Data Protection Regulation (GDPR) and Revised Payment Services Directive (PSD2). Even in markets without explicit regulations on data collection, new scrutiny on data privacy among both regulators and consumers is forcing many FIS to reevaluate data usage. It remains to be seen how this will affect data-driven fraud protection methods, especially as both account opening and synthetic identity fraud continue to gain speed. The only certainty is that banks can no longer rely on KBA for new account opening, as such static information is too easily hacked. AI and ML provide better opportunities to protect legitimate customers as they open new accounts, but FIS will need to continue to innovate their uses of these technologies if they want to stay a step ahead in the fraud game. B2B payment innovations keep suppliers in mind. This week, MasterCard announced plans to modernize its B2B payment ecosystem with MasterCard Track. The MasterCard Track business payment service is said to be the first global open-loop commercial service created to automate payments between the world's buyers and suppliers. Despite efforts to move away from paper-based payments, it's a known fact that checks are still the most popular way businesses pay each other. Bento for Business estimates that the U.S. small business market (SMB) will reach $9 trillion by 2020, but also notes that 80% of SMBs still use paper checks to make payments. It's not as if firms lack interest in improving the speed of B2B payments. A majority, 55%, of corporate professionals identified real-time payments as their top B2B payment service priority, according to the Real-Time Payments Innovation Playbook. Real-time and other emerging payment systems are getting increased attention, as nearly half of corporates are using or interested in using new payment services, according to Bottomline Technologies research. Among these new services, the top focus is real-time payments, 55%, followed by same-day ACH, 44%. With innovation comes new challenges. The latest Securing B2B Payments report shines a light on risk and security issues. Security versus friction. Losses from fraud were estimated to hit $4.2 trillion last year, which means businesses need to balance keeping payments secure while still delivering a seamless payment experience. It's no wonder security features were the most in-demand feature by 28% of corporates for B2B mobile solutions, according to Bottomline. PYMNT's Payments 2022 playbook found that 60.8% of digital platforms say false positives are a major payment friction point, and more than 30% identified them as their top challenge. They often result in declined corporate card transactions and delayed invoice processing, which can lead to payment delays that ultimately harm buyer-supplier relationships. In June, consulting firm CGI and invoice payment solutions provider Ordo announced a collaboration to make invoice processing more efficient and secure for both sides of a transaction. Also, identity verification solutions provider GIACT Systems debuted plans to work with data analytics firm Equifax to launch a new platform to analyze customer identity and behavioral data to better assess fraud risks. B2B payments across industries. B2B payments might conjure up stereotypical images of white-collar workers, but such payments transcend tradition. Payment flows and delays are a challenge for a range of sectors, including construction, utilities, real estate, trucking, and more. In an interview with PYMNTS, Karen Rush and Lynette Phoenix of DPR Construction explained how virtual and purchasing card technologies keep cash flowing between its network of subcontractors. DPR's vendors are presented with the option to receive payment via virtual cards once they complete the onboarding process. The feature has proven popular, as approximately 30 to 40% of the company's vendors opt in. The real estate market also recently saw innovations. Yardi, a fintech company, now supports MasterCard virtual card payments, allowing property managers to boost the automation and efficiency of their vendor payment processes. Property management platform InventoryBase added a WorkStreams feature for B2B clients that enables managers to submit inspection jobs, select vendors, and pay suppliers through the platform. The future of B2B payments. B2B payments are in a transitional period. According to the B2B Payments Tipping Point report, 34% of companies say their use of e-payables, including virtual cards, will increase in the next 3 years. In an interview with PYMNTS, Kevin Fallon, the global head of Visa Business Solutions, explained how many of the significant changes in B2B payments have been driven by looking beyond the corporate payer and focusing on suppliers as well. This is evidenced by efforts to improve cash flow via virtual and purchasing cards and other innovations for a broader swath of industries. If you look at checks, ACH, wires or card-based payments, we in the industry were heavily focused on delivering solutions for the buy side, which I think is critical, Fallon said. But just as importantly, we have to solve for the supply side as well. Online marketplaces and the $1.8 trillion counterfeit problem. Fraudsters sold counterfeit products worth $323 billion last year, and are projected to make off with $1.8 trillion by 2020. Kimberly Giannopoulos, director at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, says that payments services providers, working with government agencies, can help marketplaces fix that. In the latest Payments and the Platform Economy Playbook, she explains how shopping on third-party marketplaces can provide ample benefits to buyers and sellers, allowing goods to change hands with the speed and convenience both parties have come to expect. Unfortunately, the faster transactions become, the more likely it is that they will be susceptible to counterfeiting. Illicit and counterfeit goods make up a multi-billion-dollar fraudulent industry, with merchants suffering $323 billion in total losses from counterfeit products in 2017. Online sales of such products are projected to reach $1.8 trillion by 2020, presenting a problem for third-party marketplaces that allow individual sellers onto their platforms. These sites not only need to be vigilant against payments-related fraud, but they must also have the right tools in place to detect illicit listings. Kimberly Giannopoulos, director at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, GAO, noted that process can be harder than it seems. She recently told PYMNTS about how online marketplaces, government agencies, and other e-commerce players are tackling the increase in counterfeit products and the problems involved in stopping them from being sold. Gao was responsible for producing a report on the subject last year, research from which was cited in an April executive order issued to fight counterfeit fraud. What we heard across the board was that intellectual property rights and counterfeit goods are increasing significantly in their appearances, especially in the online context, Giannopoulos said. The way a number of online platforms are structured, such as eBay and Amazon, means that third-party sellers can register on these sites and sell their wares, and their ISNT always a way for the platforms to make sure that the items that they're selling are the real thing. Fast speeds, smaller packages and online counterfeiting. The increase in counterfeit goods on such marketplaces can be attributed to different factors, one of which being that it can be difficult to determine counterfeit listings from legitimate ones. It is fairly easy to lure consumers into buying counterfeits with such listings, Giannopoulos noted, as anyone can screenshot photos of a legitimate product and post them online. That leaves consumers on the hook for products they did not know were illegitimate, which can result in frustration with the marketplace. Gaos report found that 40% of sampled goods in frequently counterfeited product categories turned out to be fraudulent, a problem the April executive order sought to address by requiring government agencies, such as the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, CBP, to work with the private sector to prevent sales of counterfeit items. We recommended in our report that CBP consider sharing additional information with the private sector, said Giannopoulos. When we spoke with private sector folks, they said that sometimes it's difficult for them to follow up and identify who is shipping the counterfeit goods, because CBP does not share the information that they need in order to track these counterfeiters down. The recommendation that Gao gave to improve CBP's counterfeit detection strategies is still open, she noted. Marketplaces like Amazon have reportedly been reticent to share information about how they detect counterfeits, creating knowledge gaps that prevent crackdowns on fake listings. Another part of the problem is that counterfeiters have fundamentally changed how they sell and distribute, making it harder for those like CBP to detect them when they are shipped into the country. Because so many shipments these days are being sent in small packages, it's much harder for agencies or marketplaces to try to find these counterfeit shipments, Giannopoulos said. They're not coming in as they used to, in these big tanker ships, where there's a huge container ship full of fake sneakers or Gucci handbags or what have you. It's the stuff that you and I go online and order and get shipped directly to us at home. There are millions and millions of those packages, so it's very difficult to easily canvas all of the packages that come through. The demand for next-day delivery is also creating new opportunities for counterfeit sellers. Many online marketplaces are starting to see significant issues arise from this. Amazon is among them, struggling to prevent counterfeiters from taking over existing listings, falsifying reviews, or finding other ways to distribute their goods on the site. Solving the counterfeit problem for online marketplaces. Marketplaces that wish to significantly decrease counterfeit activity will need to work closely with government agencies and consumers, said Giannopoulos. The latter need to be vigilant and report counterfeit products when they encounter them, and consumers should also ensure that everything from the marketplace to the payment method is safe and secure. With traditional credit cards, you can always go back and challenge a charge, but if you're using something that's not going through one of those portals, then you may not have the rights or you may not have the coverage that you think you do, Giannopoulos explained. It's up to the consumer to be as knowledgeable and as educated as possible about their payment methods. Marketplaces will need to change how they think about counterfeit products, like how they change their thoughts about consumer shopping habits. Consumers, government agencies, and marketplaces must all adapt to prevent the sale of such items. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.